Children, I have some exciting news.
You are fake news.
Hello, Adelaide.
Triple M's ruined it for breakfast.
Overnight news.
Big discovery made in Robe down in the southeast, Roo.
What do you mean?
You'll hear more about this today, I reckon. Police have found human bones in the sand dunes in Robe, one of our favourite holiday destinations.
Really?
Yeah. Don't know any more about it. That's all they're saying at the moment. So police are descending on the area this morning.
You could ring your mate Jawson.
Jawson's from Robe.
Yeah,
that's
Jordan
right.
Dawson.
That's right.
So you kept calling Jawson.
Yep.
He's from Robe. He might be able to get a bit of info.
All right. No worries. Hey, this is an alarming story. Dan Murphy's. Everyone likes their local Dan Murphy's because the prices are pretty good usually.
I tend to like going to the local.
I do as well.
Supporting the local
Yes, I'm with you. I like supporting the local pub, the local Botlow. But a lot of people, as you know, Dan Murphy's are busy. Mm. Their chief has come out and said grog shortage leading into Christmas.
What?
Grog shortage in Australia.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Nah, but what it turns out, if you delve a bit deeper, it's a lot of the internationally imported liqueurs and spirits. Which is probably a bit of a niche market, but he's saying that they're running out. And the reason being that in lockdown around the world, people have stayed home, they've drunk a lot at home, made their own cocktails at home, and the shelves are pretty bare around the world. So you might want to check it. If you like your favourite sort of liqueur and imported spirits in the lead up to Christmas, you might want to check it out now.
Gee whiz.
Or pay from the hip pocket. Those Australian whiskies are great. But geez, they're pricey. You have your pants pulled down if you're going to go anything over. Like the cheapest is probably around 70, 80 bucks. Whereas
for a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, but say for a Jameson's, which is, you know, Old Faithful, you can get that 45, 50 depending on where you go. So you might be able to get alcohol, but geez, the kids will be getting coal in their sock at that price.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah, all right. Hey, something happened driving in this morning, and it's happened before, but it just really, really did spark my interest about how things have changed with doing breakfast radio. So Luke Boner, the overnight program here on Triple M, and he does a thing where you got to guess the quickie, which is where, you know, one of those, he plays a little snippet of a song and you got to guess what it is. He plays about two seconds of it.
Poor man's tragedy.
Yeah, all right. It is poor man's tragedy, correct? Anyway, here's the winner this morning.
This is me. Greetings from Finland.
Thank you. You listen to us in Finland. I mean, you must be desperate for good radio in Finland.
I find your guys' shows great, and you guys play great music. I listen to you on the TuneIn radio app.
There you go. Finnish guy listens every night, it turns out. He was on for about 10 minutes. They had a great chat.
Did they?
Yeah. But, you know, when we do the footy, often, don't we, on the weekend, we'll get text messages on our Automasters text line from Massachusetts or somewhere around the world.
Mainly expats listening.
Yeah, whereas that's actually a Finnish guy living in Finland.
Yeah.
And he said, there's no good radio here.
He loves
here.
Aussie radio.
So he went on to tune in and he's found Triple M. So I'm appealing right now, wherever you are listening around the world, we want to hear from you, just for something different this morning.
Mm.
Where are you listening to us from? Anywhere around the world, 133353. Now, I've got no idea how you'd get through on 133353.
That's a really good question. That's probably,
Well, that fella got through from Finland.
Didn't Unless he? They got in contact with him and gave him a direct number to call. Yeah,
or
sure.
If you want to, do the text. You do the text as well. I think if you do the plus symbol, 61, and the area code, 133353, hopefully you get through.
If not, 0488851047. Where's the most obscure place you're listening from right now?
Are you in Antarctica? Come on.
Are you in Yatla?
Use your one phone call a week to ring us.
Ring Dits.
On the way in this morning, Roo, a fella from Finland rang in and won the overnight prize on the overnight program. And it just made me think how the world has changed in radio. People are listening. And we get these messages all the time now. We've actually just looked up the app. We can see who's listening to us right now via the app, believe it or
not.
So
what do we got?
We've got a couple of hundred in the US. That's probably stock standard. 130 in the UK.
Yep.
74 in Singapore.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of expats go over there, don't they?
There are 8 people in Macedonia listening to us.
Yeah, they're all Dacos's, though.
Yeah, that's right, Dakes. Good morning, Dakes. There are 6 in Iraq.
Yep.
That'd probably be, not ex, but they'd be servicemen, wouldn't they? Maybe.
Might be.
Ghana. We've got 2 people.
Ghana what?
2 people in Ghana, in Africa. Yeah. Dominican Republic, there's one.
Right.
Cambodia, there's one. Cayman Islands, there's one person listening.
He's on the run.
Actually, Richard Branson, isn't he? Does he live in the Cayman Islands? Morning, Richard.
G'day,
Dick. There's one person in the Czech Republic. So this is just extraordinary.
Any Mexicans?
There's one in Mexico.
One
in Mexico.
He can't change the channel.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. So isn't that quite? I don't know if you find that amazing, yeah, but I do.
No, it's interesting. Yeah. Anyway, we've got one on the Automasters text line 0488 51 0047. We asked for one. We've got someone at Christie's Beach.
Oh, fantastic!
We've got a funny fella.
They're everywhere, aren't they?
And we've got a phone call here. We've got Alicia from Northern England. G'day, Alicia.
Hey guys, how are you going?
Good. Whereabouts are you?
I'm near Manchester.
Near Manchester?
Really?
Yeah.
Why on earth would you be listening to Triple M from Manchester?
You tell me, guys. I tune in for Lozzie and she's not even there yet.
Oh, what are you, a friend of Loz's, are you?
Oh, yeah, I followed her around a little bit.
All right. Okay.
Oh, Loz sleeps in. If you listen to this program,
she's on the
often,
late shift.
Yeah, she gets in a little bit later on. Well, so what's your hometown called?
Wigan.
Oh, Wigan. Very famous town in the north. Is that Yorkshire?
No, Lancashire.
Lancashire.
Other side of England, yeah.
Okay. Why do you listen to, do you like me and Ditz as well, or are you just purely 100% Loz?
Well, it's nearly 9 o'clock at night here, so apparently I just have nothing better to do than to listen to an Adelaide radio station.
So you've been drinking, have you?
Oh, a little bit.
Good on you, Alicia. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go. All the way from Wigan. Famous rugby town, I think, Wigan.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. All right. Ruined. It's here on Triple M. Hopefully people are listening in Adelaide as well. I hope.
He's a plumber.
Rudy's Plumbing. You block it, we unblock it.
He has a funny accent.
My mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it?
And he also happens to be Australia's meanest TV reviewer.
Australian television, it is manure.
Please welcome to Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Every week right here on Triple M.
Rudy Vanderstone, TV reviewer.
Oh, he's been on fire lately. In fact, last week was a world first. He liked the show.
He likes Squid Games. Now Tit Shorten's even talking about it.
I know. Good morning, Rudy.
Yeah, good morning to you, Ditch. Good morning to you, Roo, and good morning to you, Loza, and to Haydos, and to all the crew. Is Tit Shorten on to Squid Game, isn't it?
Tit Shorten and Barnaby Joyce were having an argument over Squid Games.
Well, I'd love to see them in a game of red light, green light. And see them explode under the impact of an assassin's bullet.
Red light is Barnaby's
head. Like a red light. Yeah, that's right.
Let's get into the review. Enough of my political statements. Hello and welcome to Rudy's TV review. For those of you with only free-to-air TV, I apologise for reviewing yet another streaming service, the smash hit that is Apple TV's Ted Lasso.
Yes, this has gone crazy.
The corny American soccer coach that has taken the world by storm and who we've all taken to our hearts. I don't know whether I have an undiagnosed brain tumour or whether I'm going through male menopause, but I'm becoming more and more sentimental and empathetic. My wife Marta and I watched the final episode in Series 2 on the weekend, and I'm here to tell you that Nathan, and this is a spoiler alert for those who haven't watched it yet, Nathan, the assistant coach, is, as some of your incarcerated listeners might say, a low rat dog. You can fill in the blanks.
Oh, have really? A listen. Nathan.
The great Ted Lasso, well, I think you're a f***ing joke. Without me, you wouldn't want a single match and they would have shipped your ass back to Kansas where you f***ing belong with your son, because you sure as hell don't belong here.
Oh, a little bit of... Get back to where you belong, where you come from. Of course, for those of you who are fans of Ted Lasso, you'll know that that is very hurtful with your son. He's estranged from his son because he's going through a marriage breakdown. So it couldn't be a crueler thing to say, and I'm sorry if that was a spoiler alert, but all Ted fans will know what I'm talking about.
Now, Ted is just nice to the whole world. How did he respond to that?
Well, of course, he took it on board.
Yeah,
he saw a man at his emotional peak, Ditz, who was having a real outpouring, a catharsis, if you will, and he just listened to it, and he was wondering, probably because he's a great empath, about what was going on in that man's life. Of course, trying to walk a mile in his shoes.
Yeah.
I think it's great casting, actually, because Nathan is originally of Indian descent, and most Indians, you know, play a meek and mild character, or a very agreeable or shy character, but this bloke's playing a real arsehole.
Mm.
And I'm sure there's Indian arseholes out there too, and they should share it round racially. There's arseholes in every race.
Yes.
Chinese arseholes.
Yes.
Mongolian arseholes. Yep.
Dutch.
But Dutch arseholes as well. Don't you worry about that. Let's get back to Rudy's TV review.
Yeah.
For those late to the party, Ted Lasso is a feel-good comedy about an all-American coach, a football coach hired to coach a soccer side in the EPL. It's the master plan of a big blonde booby woman named Rebecca, who wants to drive the club into the ground after she is cheated on by her husband and left in control of his prized possession, Richmond FC.
Oh.
Now, what ensues is a tale of winning hearts of the people around you with kindness and empathy and love. Through all of this, Ted battles through a marriage breakdown, paralysing anxiety attacks, the disdain of the British press, and the hatred of the local supporters. Someone even knocks over a coffee cup halfway through an episode.
It was that bad.
That's what happens. That's how realistic this review is. His nickname to the locals is Wanker. That's what they call him.
They called him Wanker.
That's like, this bloke walks past him in the street and goes, "Hello, Wanker."
Oh, that's a low blow.
It is a low blow. Probably accurate because it's referring to a man. Anyway, he does all this with the support of his friend Beard and Sharon, the mystical club psych. If I'd seen this synopsis written down on a piece of paper, I would have put that bit of paper to good use and taken it to the toilet straight away. But this show works. It's funny and it's life-affirming. I realise this is the second in 2 weeks that I have liked something.
Ooh.
And I'm losing my edge. So when I make this promise to you, I'll watch The Project during the week and come out all guns blazing next week.
Oh, gold, Rudy. Well,
How many stars?
I'm giving it 5 stars.
Yay! You are out of lockdown.
You're on a hat trick.
I've lost my mind. I'm in love with the world. I love you all. Goodbye, Todd Sleaton.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
If you haven't heard this before, this is the male version of the Angels, Roo, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
The boys. They look like,
younger boys.
A boy band, don't they?
Yeah,
have
well,
a look at them.
They probably could be in one.
We need more male perspective on this station.
Get out.
You know what we need? A violin for you.
Yeah, exactly. We got Jared, our producer. Jared, just to paint the picture, because this is important with what we're about to talk about. How old are you?
I am 27.
Current status?
In a
relationship.
In a relationship. How long for?
2.5 years.
2.5 years, right?
Your stuff.
We've got Sam, our audio man, who throws us under the bus. How old are you, Sam?
You never ask a lady how old she is.
No, okay. Well, you're not a lady.
I'm 42.
And you're
not a metrosexual.
No, but your current status. No, but you're very young.
Yeah, I'm a young 42.
You are a young 42.
You're very hip and happening.
Yeah,
and
I've got a skateboard. I haven't ridden it for a while.
And you're married, aren't you?
Yes, I'm married.
Right, and we got Tom. Tom's our assistant producer. How are you, Tom?
I'm 20 years old.
Right, current status?
Single.
Righto. That's right.
and sleeps in a single bed.
Is it important with Port Adelaide memorabilia?
Yeah.
Oh, God. He's switched on. Is it important in this day and age to get married? For you young boys, the boys of your age, the divorce rate's so high, but also with the incredible costs involved. Because, Roo, I heard you say this the other day, which made me think of it. You'd be advising your kids, if it's between getting married and buying a house, what would you say?
Oh, in terms of using a deposit on the wedding.
Your investment.
Oh,
yeah.
you'd be buying a house,
there
surely,
you go.
Wouldn't you?
Whereas there are kids of this age group saying, oh, yeah, but we want to get married and, you know. Whereas,
get married.
Right.
I'll just do it cheap.
Jared, how important for you to get married in this day and age?
Yeah, not that important.
If
I miss
it's super
important. No,
you are going to be single in a heartbeat.
I'd get myself in trouble here. No, guys said.
All right.
It's too expensive these days. You chuck wedding in front of anything. Wedding photographer becomes $5,000. A photographer's $1,000 for an event. Yeah. So, I mean, I just bought a house with my partner a year ago.
Well,
that's marriage in itself.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and, you know, that's de facto. So what's a ring going to change except that's another expense? So you grow up thinking that you are going to get married because you see the movies, but I can see the positives and not.
Are you going to get married, do you think?
Oh,
though?
Shit, yeah.
Now, Sammy, you've been married. When you look around and what you see...
Been married.
You are married, sorry. When you look around at what's going on with this generation... Yeah, well,
50%
of
marriages end up in divorce.
Is marriage as important as it used to be?
I don't think so. A lot of my friends, you know, they get kids or like Jared, they get the house... And that's, you know, a pretty binding contract as it is.
Yep.
It's nice to get married, but I would advise people don't spend a lot of money on the wedding. Like, Rue, I'm a bit stingy. And so you
can't make money out of your wedding.
But it's not being stingy. Yeah, Rue made money.
Sell the photos to New Idea, like Rue or whatever.
Loz, this is the best story of all time. He made 150 people fly into Port Lincoln, stay at his hotel, and you had to stay for 3 nights minimum.
Minimum 3 nights.
Yeah. Minimum 3 nights stay.
Put a poker machine behind the door.
you had to have breakfast in the hotel. He made a fortune out of his own wedding. Anyway.
Nothing is sacred.
Tom.
Nothing.
Young Tom.
Bits, yes.
Right, for you, this is all ahead
You'll
of you.
You'll learn.
Yep. The young 20-year-old. How important is it for you to get married?
Well, I think if I'm going to get married, I'm going to get Rue as my wedding planner. So it's an affordable sort of experience.
Good move.
I'm not really overwhelmed with emotion here after listening to you two. Just, you know, too expensive and all that. But considering I don't have a girlfriend, I probably need to work on that first before I get the wife.
Do that bit first, yeah.
But eventually, I'd probably like to get married at some point, I reckon. Yeah.
Good on you.
Just go to a Triple M listener function. You'll find a girl there, mate. You'll be right.
Loz, from your point of view, from the female point of view.
Oh, look, I don't think
weddings. Hang on, don't ask a female.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I don't think weddings are important. I don't, yeah. Mm. And I used to be a maitre d', so I've seen so many that a lot of them did end in divorce and very quickly as well, that we would not bet. I'm not saying we would bet on how
long it
would
last. Sounds like you did.
Yeah, you gamble responsibly.
But I did. I did clean up after the Shipman wedding. No, it's not important to me. But some people love it. You know, they love the whole party thing and getting to wear the white dress. And yeah, I'm just not a fan.
You're not a glass half empty person, are you? I'm detecting a little bit of glass half empty stuff from time to time. I like it.
I'm much more into the sort of life part of the equation as opposed to the event of a wedding. You know, you want the I'm not opposed to the being with one person forever thing. I just, I don't know how important the actual wedding event is, the ceremony. It's just gotten a bit out of hand, in my opinion.
Yeah, it has.
Well, you can elope.
Yeah, well, you
can
do
that.
And
buy a house.
Yeah.
Which is Rue's advice.
And buy a
house. Use the money.
Or just bludge off your parents and get them to pay for it.
Yeah. Good
stuff. All right. Thanks, Metros.
Here we go.
What's your favourite curry, mate?
Vindaloo.
Butter chicken.
What's your favourite curry, mate?
Stephen.
Please welcome to Rue and Ditch for Breakfast, Australian acting and comedy legend, Stephen Curry.
Gee, the production team spared no expense with that opening, did they?
So hang on, am I to believe that my surname is also a type of food?
Can you believe that? Eh?
Oh,
you haven't heard those gags.
I went through primary school and I'd never heard that joke.
How are you, Steve?
I'm so great, guys. I'm absolutely brilliant. How are you guys? We're about to open up over here. We're over in Melbourne and is it tomorrow? Well, Friday's open up day or whatever they're going to call it. So I think it's go to the pub and not wear your mask because you're drinking too much beer day or something like that.
Now, Stephen, please take this in the nicest way, but I've got a photo of you in front of me. You're one of those faces that every time we look at you, we just laugh because there's been
God you didn't say you want a punch.
No. You are, you know, whether it's the castle, whether it's the Toyota as, yeah, there's, I don't know, there are just many, many, many great moments. What a career it's been, and it seems to be a lot of fun as well.
Well, yeah, mate, it is fun. And I do pinch myself every now and then because it's kind of ridiculous that I get to do my hobby as a job and, you know, have a fair few laughs along the way. But, it's one of those things. I sort of fell ass first into it, to be honest. I thank God because I've got zero other skills and zero other interests that could earn me a crust and feed my children. So it's kind of worked out okay.
Now, I don't believe that for a second because some videos have popped up online of you, you know, premiering your other skills. We've got some audio here, I think.
Here we go. Okay. Here we go.
I might tell you that 5G gets your Rona. Getting jabbed with Pfizer's gonna stop you from getting a boner.
Oh, God. Drug use and alcohol have definitely gone up through the COVID period, Steve. What's been happening over there in Melbourne, mate?
I've been stuck in a house with two young boys. The smells, there's something about the smells that they can emanate that I just need to hide in a room sometimes and write ridiculous songs just to stave off the madness.
All right, now, brand new show, Spreadsheet. This is coming out on Paramount, which is Channel 10's streaming service.
It is.
Tell us about Spreadsheet.
Well, it's great. Lauren, played by Catherine Parkinson, the brilliant Catherine Parkinson,
awesome.
Is recently divorced and she sets up a spreadsheet for some nice, no-strings-attached, guilt-free fun in the boudoir, shall we say. Oh, is that what you say?
Special cuddles.
That's a special cuddles. Ooh. How does that go with the millennials? That word, special cuddles.
Special cuddles? Yeah. Well, that's very radio-friendly way of saying doinking, right?
Isn't doinking, it? Yeah. Yeah. Doinking, that's the right word.
That's so
she
what
wants
we
to
say.
Do some doinking. She wants to do some strings-free doinking, and then unfortunately my character turns up who likes all the strings and wants the relationship, and it doesn't quite work out.
Can I ask, did she not know about Tinder? Because there is already an app for this.
Well, this is the thing. I think her spreadsheet also, and this in the first episode, comes into where it is a Tinder. She gets them from Tinder, but has to set up the spreadsheet so she can keep a track of them. And this, did you know, this is an autobiographical story from the writer, Kayla Ellis.
Ooh. Wow.
Gee, I tell you what, she's very generous.
Wow.
She's very generous in what she divulges. And I'll tell you what, after she got divorced, she really, she went for it.
Okay. Yeah, crack.
Did you record this during COVID or was this something that happened beforehand that's just coming out?
We started filming before the lockdown, actually, before the last lockdown, and then the lockdown happened halfway through it. Like, you've got to keep your mask on and you keep your distance until you're doinking.
Yeah.
And once you're doinking, you know, the only thing we've got between us when you're doinking is, I love that word, it's going to be my new word.
Yeah, I'm going to use it.
Thanks. I'm glad that I could contribute something.
Brilliant. It's something what they call an intimacy buffer.
Right.
And that is a cushion.
Yeah.
It's a cushion.
Yeah.
It's a very thin cushion which you place between the two people.
Becomes a pin cushion, doesn't it?
But the thing is, it's not stuck to anything. So when the doinking increases, the intimacy buffer starts flying around. It's absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous.
If you don't have to wear a mask when you're doinking, I'd be doinking more often in COVID.
Yeah. Well, what do they say? You can't give people COVID when you're drinking beer, sipping out of a teacup, or doinking.
There.
Well, there you go. There you go. It's just science, isn't it, right, Steve?
Drink and doink.
I want to hear Dan Andrews say that.
I'm not a health professional. I just need to say this. I am not a qualified health professional.
Can you get Dan to say that in his next press conference? All right. Hey, Stephen, this sounds like a fun show. We will all be tuning in. It's on Paramount.
Yep.
Check it out. It's called Spreadsheet. Stephen Curry, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, guys.
Good on
have
you.
A great
Thank
day.
You.
Enjoy your doing.
Good on you, Steve.
Still no breakthrough in the missing girl, Cleo Smith, the 4-year-old in Western Australia, the town of Carnarvon. A long way north of Perth, it is.
900 kilometres north.
Yeah, it is. Nice. It's a very big state, WA. There are some similarities, I think, this morning from what we're hearing about the William Tyrrell case. If you remember, we saw the big report on TV about a month ago about the fact that there were a large number of sex offenders living right near the vicinity of where William Tyrrell went missing.
Mm-hmm.
Overnight, we're hearing a similar story over here in the West. We're speaking with Channel 7 news reporter Ben Downey. Ben, what can you tell us about the reports overnight about the number of sex offenders living in the vicinity?
Ruud, it's Loz. Good morning. Yes, it's definitely true. It's actually one of the first things the homicide squads and detectives did the moment they got up here on Saturday, the morning that Claire went missing. There's between 10 to 20 registered sex offenders in the Midwest Gascoyne district. So it's not just in Carnarvon, but sort of the surrounding district. But because detectives didn't have any known or formally identified suspects, one of the first things they did is went to known offenders. So, you know, retracing their movements, clamping down, making sure they were where they were supposed to be. Obviously, not all, but the majority of people when their offending is so serious that you have to wear bracelets and things like that to track where they are. So we're not saying that a sex offender has obviously abducted Cleo because we still don't know exactly what happened to her, but it's certainly one of the first ports of call detectives made to clamp down to see if they could track down this missing 4-year-old.
Yeah, I think they look at the parents, they look at all people known to the child as well, because I think they're the two most obvious lines that they have to check first and cancel off before they go anywhere. Everywhere we talk about, whether it's William Tyrrell, whether it's this case, we talk about how many sex offenders are in the area, and it always sounds totally abnormal the amount of people are sex offenders in the area. Is this the percentages of, you know, it's 10 to 20, you say, in that area. Is that the standard percentage in any area in Australia, or is this like a little gathering, you know, abnormal amount in a particular area, Ben? Do you know the answer to that?
It's a sad fact, but it's not abnormal. This is pretty standard, especially when they're casting the wide kind of net they are. And, you know, they haven't actually gone into direct detail about you know, which type of offences these offenders had committed and what, you know, the seriousness of the charges that they were convicted on. One thing they have gone into detail, though, and you may not have seen overnight, it was in a really late update from police, but it is a frightening update, is basically that police have confirmed that the way the tent was set up, Cleo would not have been able to open it on her own. The zipper on the top of the tent was too tall for the four-year-old to reach. And added to that, they've interviewed her parents, and they believe their accounts are rock solid, and their movements, are not suspicious at all. Meaning, it's almost certain a third party has opened this tent, and not being the parents, and they're pretty certain it wasn't left open as well. And you know, now we're entering day six. There are still no formal suspects in the event that Cleo was kidnapped. So it's getting really dire, and the race against the clock is almost over at this stage.
There's a horrible statistic. I don't even know if I should read it out, but it's all online. But they're saying, I don't even know if I should read it out.
Well, if you feel uncomfortable.
Well,
maybe.
It just says that typical in abduction cases, usually kids are killed within the 3 to 6 hours in abductions. It's a horrible, horrible statistic, and hopefully this is wrong and this has got nothing to do with this case. But that's another, you know, just horrifying.
Well, on the flip side of that, there are good stories where the young boy in Western Sydney was found just
exactly
recently.
Right.
So after being missing for a couple of days. Ben, thanks again, mate. A fantastic update and good report, and we'll try and stay in touch if we can as news unfolds over there in the West. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Ben Downey from 7 News.
Triple M's ruined Dits.
It's been good having Loz in the show, hasn't it, Dits?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
It's really added new dimension.
Yeah, another dimension.
Fresh outlook.
Sometimes three's a crowd, but yeah. Not necessarily on this occasion.
Right.
She keeps us honest a little bit,
mm-hmm.
doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Keeps us on our toes because we can get a little bit set in our ways. And,
do you think so?
Fraction. maybe some more than others. But anyway, this is sort of how it started a couple of days ago. I had a little crack at Loz about some of her spending. $27 for lunch.
Yeah, but that was like, I cut it in
then
half.
You whinge, you can't buy a house.
What? Are you trying to boomer me?
Oh, I just don't get how people do that. Anyway, I was having a crack at Loz about when she was a little bit crook. She got some burritos and a drink and spent $27 for just a little casual
Uber
lunch.
Uber Eats.
Yeah. And then, you hear about the fact they haven't got enough money to do anything and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anyway, she used the term boomered,
mm-hmm.
which I hadn't heard before because I'm getting old. Anyway, she explained what the word, the phrase boomered means.
Being boomered is like when someone comes at you with their boomer advice. When you go to Christmas lunch, your uncle who bought a house for $130,000 in 1980, just sold it for $5 million, is sitting there chuffing on his cigar and he goes, "You really need to get into the market, love." Here comes the
All right, so we got the understanding dits of boomered. Well, I'm here to say there's some good news coming for the millennials.
Oh, no.
All right? No, good news.
No,
right?
Okay, but why don't I believe
smiling.
You?
Well, you should believe me. There's a wealth tsunami coming towards the millennials because of the boomers, whether they've been smoking cigars or just enjoyed the capital growth of their investments over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
A whopping $3.5 trillion is about to be passed on from baby boomers to millennials over the next 15 years.
Will that be enough or not?
All right, so just put that violin down for a second.
Yeah. If I want to live in Burnside, maybe not.
Mm.
Maybe not, you're right. But 7.5 million children, 7.5 million children are about to get an average of $320,000 each over the next 15 years because these boomers are about to pass on approximately 70% of their wealth to the next generation.
Are you saying that all I have to do is wait for my parents to die and then I'll be set for life? Is that the...
Well, you can knock them off yourself now if you're
if you can come to an arrangement earlier, or
you could be grateful that you're actually going to inherit $320,000 of their hard-earned money and And say thank you to your mum and dad.
Well, the men in my family don't last so long, but the women live a very long time.
But they'll pass it on early. That's what they're
right,
saying.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Do you need me to write it down and explain it to you? Or as well as,
yeah, you put it in an email. I'll get it next week.
If it's not enough, you can appeal to your mum and dad now to get a second job as well. They
exactly.
They could do a bit of weekend work. Should mum get a cleaning job? Or
She did have a cleaning job for many years that put us through private school.
You're going to be above the average then.
Enough of this bickering between us. We're a team here, but I'm just passing on the good news for you. So the boomers are actually going to – is this reverse boom?
The reverse boom. No, I think this is even more boomering than the original one.
So keep smiling.
Yeah, okay.
The boomers are delivering for the millennials.
Be just nice to mum and dad.
Yeah.
104.7 Triple M's $10,000 vault.
Where are we heading to, Roo?
We're heading to Mount Compass. Anne Marie's on the line. Anne Marie, have you done your homework? You've been to the listener app? You worked out the prior combinations?
I have.
Good girl.
Good, well done. Now, what are you up to today, Anne Marie, by the way?
Just heading to Murray Bridge for work.
And what are you doing, Murray Bridge?
I'm a HR manager.
Good on you.
You might be taking a detour if you win $10,000.
Yeah. All right, what's your combination? What are the four numbers?
8159.
8159.
Hasn't been used.
All right, let's feed that into the vault. Will it open it up?
8159.
For $10,000. Anne-Marie.
Incorrect.
Oh, no. Sorry.
No. That's okay. Thanks.
Have a good
anyway.
Day. Have a good day, Emery. Murray Bridge. We're down to 1 in 20.
5%.
5%.
Go visit the Bunyip.
Yeah.
That'll cheer you up.
Bazza.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an uncle of mine.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'd rather win the 10 grand. Ditch, you don't like the gardening, do you? You hate that, you know, you got to get out there this time of year. We've had a bit of rain, we've fertilised, there's a lot of sun around, everything's growing,
keep
the weeds,
employed.
The grass.
Keep
you
people
hate
employed.
It, do you?
Get a gardener around.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you like getting out there with nature and just relaxing and, you know,
like watching
your earpods in with the races going or podcasting our show?
Can't just do two things. How can I watch the races and listen to them if I'm bloody doing the garden?
If you don't like gardening, imagine if you're out gardening and... You know, you thought, you know, it was starting to rain or it got a little bit heavy and then you sort of started to smell stuff a little bit more.
The rain smelled a bit.
And you realised that it wasn't rain that was coming down. It was actually sewage coming down from the...
What?
This is what's
from
happened.
From the sky?
This is what's happened over in the UK. A plane has dumped all its sewage.
No.
No.
And if you didn't like gardening already, it became a very shit day when it started landing on your head.
No.
You
no.
thought it was pissing down and it actually was pissing down.
So have you ever been shat on by a bird? Well, a big bird.
It's a bird. It's a plane. Yeah, it is a plane.
Oh, no.
It is. Yeah,
did
that's
happen,
what happened. It happened in the UK.
Oh, no.
They usually empty it when they land on the tarmac and everything. But... I think they hit the wrong button and
How do you hit the wrong button?
I don't know. I don't fly planes. But this is what happened. So the only upside is you probably don't have to fertilise your garden, do you?
Well, see, this is why I don't do the gardening.
That's right.
You've
it's
just
dangerous.
Confirmed in my mind.
Absolutely dangerous. So don't do it. Pay the gardener. You've heard the story. We're running dry on booze at the moment. Everyone's been sipping a little bit too much all around our world. And we know the Queen's got a fair supply at the moment as well. Remember, she told us that she got told to stop drinking by doctors at the moment. Yes, we heard that earlier. Well, maybe she can solve our shortage. We might get her to send over her supply. In fact, I think we've got her on the phone right now.
Hello, Liz. Good morning. Have you heard about the grog shortage here?
Hello, yes, I've heard the liquor shops are drier than a dead dingo's donger. Well, I'll be all right. I've got plenty of booze here.
Right.
I would be more than happy, actually, to send some over in boxes. We've got 2021 Vintage Fruit Alexia.
Oh, nice.
Perfect for all you filthy Australian convicts.
You're
fruity, Liz. Are you much of a drinker yourself, Liz, or...?
Well, you know, I dabble. Since young Philip has passed, the only screws I get these days are corkscrews. Opening another bottle of some expensive wine that I'm sure you could afford, Roo.
I'm changing topic slightly. How's Prince Andrew getting on?
Oh, yes, him. Well, he has been a little bit down lately. Down in the basement. To be perfectly honest, he's the reason I bloody drink.
Yeah, he's caused you a few issues, hasn't he? Hey, Liz, we heard that you declined the Oldie of the Year award. Why did you do that?
Well, it doesn't make any sense. I'm not that old, you know. I can still mount my trusty steed. Mm. You know, I drink more than Harry. And I've had a few dances that are popping off on TikTok. You know, there's plenty of people who would take the award before me. Chris Dittmar, for instance. I'd pass it on to you, sir.
Okay, and I'd accept it willingly. Thank you. Hey, you know, we've got a suburb here named after you, Elizabeth. It'd be wonderful if you could come out and visit one day, Your Majesty.
What was that? Sorry, Elizabeth. Go to Elizabeth.
Yeah.
They want me to go to a lecture. Sorry, I think you're breaking up here. I'm going through a tunnel. I've got to go. Anyway, cheerio.
Thanks for tuning in.
The Queen, she's on fire.
That's a good get, the Queen.
Well, look, we said earlier we had a lot of international listeners. Queen's one of them.
We get the big guests on this show. Hey, earlier this morning, found some interesting stats. I found it interesting. You know, the world has changed, hasn't it? We don't listen on radios anymore. We listen on devices, we're being told.
Devices. Smart speakers.
So your smart speaker and your pods and all these different things around the place that you can grab and listen to. Mm. How was this? We discovered earlier this morning, Roo. What did you say?
Pods.
What did I say?
You said pods. Yeah. Like, as in earpods, iPods, podcasts.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Well, no.
Are you critiquing my bloody segment as I'm doing it?
No, absolutely not. I think the information superhighway is fantastic.
Oh, God. Anyway, we've got people listening. Would you believe we've got 74 listeners right now? In Singapore.
That's amazing.
In Singapore.
Shout out.
Listen, your mum's relays are listening in Canada. We got some over there.
No.
United Arab Emirates. All right.
Nice.
A lot of expats live there. There are eight people. Good morning to the eight
people.
There
are the bikies on the run.
That's them.
Where are they?
Hey, they're still valued listeners. I know they are listening. In Macedonia. We've got eight people listening right now. Good morning.
That's the Dacos family. I told you earlier. The Macedonian Marvel.
We've got six people in Iraq.
What?
Yeah.
They didn't get out.
They're still over there. Ghana. We got two people in Ghana listening to us right now.
Wow.
Ghana. Yep. Listen to Triple M.
Yep. Czech Republic. Cambodia. We've got one listener. We've got one listener.
That's one of Cozzy's mates.
Yeah, Cambodia. That's right. What's he building over there?
Oh, schools and villages and things.
Dominican Republic. We've got a listener.
Wow.
Just the one. Cayman Islands. Yeah. We've got one.
He's on the run as well.
Richard Branson's listening to us from the Cayman Islands.
he's on the run.
Yeah.
Or is that the Canary Islands?
We've got one in Mexico.
Mexico.
We've got people everywhere.
Buenos Dias.
It's incredible.
Wow.
Why are they listening to this garbage?
I don't know.
Is their radio blocked or
And this all started
or...
because when I was driving in at about 4:30 this morning on the overnight program, a fellow won the competition. You've got to guess what the song is they're playing and you win a Triple M T-shirt. He was ringing from Finland. He's Finnish. And he was listening to Luke Boner on the overnight program.
Why would you do it to yourself?
To put yourself to sleep.
Jeez. So I just want you to know, Loz, you're very big in Nova Scotia. We're just getting a lot of calls from there.
From Nova Scotia. Yeah. That's where my mom's family's from.
That's why you're big there then.
That Laura, she's on the radio. Put it on.
You weren't in Fargo, were you?
I did get a little bit Fargo.
That's how they talk in Fargo.
Fargo.
Rudy's Vanderstone's Rally's listening?
Yep, at East Coast. In Holland. They're all over there in Holland.
No, in the Netherlands.
And he's next. Triple M.
Hey, bad news in Melbourne. And this.
Oh, good segue.
What? What? What's the segue?
We're having a ball. I know what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, bloody Melbourne. Yeah. 2,232 new cases in Victoria, which gets me. And I've been waiting to talk about this all bloody day.
Ooh, okay.
They're getting out at midnight tonight, which is great for the Victorians. But I reckon they're going too early. They've hit 70% double dose today. Their cases are going up. We've seen what happened in the first wave in overseas when they opened up too early.
Mm.
Poo sandwich. Classic. Absolute poo sandwich.
I've dated a few men from Melbourne and they always go too early. That's their.
Oh, come on.
It's a Victorian tradition.
Speaking of segues.
You and Ditz can bugger off with your segments at the moment. You got the posture care, but you were talking about how many blokes you've had in Melbourne.
Actually, the thing about the posture care chairs, you can fit two in the seat.
Melbourne have gone early, officially.
What do you reckon, family?
Watch this space.
Mm. Hey, Roo, this time of year, you and I love it because it's spring carnival, it's racing time. A bit of Melbourne Cup news this morning.
Yep.
They've announced that they're going to get 10,000 people at the Melbourne Cup.
That's right. They're letting people in.
Mm. Not all Melburnians are happy. Well, it's going to be an elitist crowd.
If you only get 10,000 out of 5 million, there's going to be a lot of unhappy
people. No, but I'll tell you why. Mm. So what they're saying is...
And usually they get about 120,000 on Melbourne Cup
yes,
Day. It is a massive day.
500 general admission tickets only. So 9,500 snouts in the trough. That's what people are upset about. So they've said, yes, 10,000 tickets, only 500 for the plebs.
Well, I suppose you got to look after sponsors and members.
Yeah.
Stiff.
Mm.
Jeez, that's going to be, those 500 are going to go crazy. well, that is a, you know, it's a tough year, COVID, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Speaking about Melbourne Cup and punting and the spring carnival, a little Kerry Packer story. Everyone loves a Kerry Packer story. We've heard about all sorts of Kerry Packer stories at casinos when he gets on a roll and, you know, paying off people's mortgages. And, you know, one girl in particular, the famous story, she wasn't allowed to accept a tip while she was working. So he said to the pit boss, fire her, and got a second and paid her house off, 130 grand back in the 90s. So she was as happy as all hell. But this is the one where Kerry was down in the mounting yard, Kerry Packer, real big fella, and he was talking to a bloke called Greg Hall, who's a good jockey back in the 90s, and he said, is Mahogany going to win, son? This is in the mounting yard. You can picture it's usually pretty packed in there.
Mm.
And... you know, Greg Hall's only a little fella and the horse is about 5 to 1, so pretty good odds. And Greg said to him, well, how much you got on? He said, I've had 1.6 million on it. He said, well, why don't you have a decent bet? What'd you bring your handbag, did you? Like as if he's only had a small bet. He said, this thing will absolutely bolt in. So he's went and had another 3 million on it.
Oh.
And it's won by 7 lengths. He said, there's no more intimidating bloke talking to you than Kerry Packer, but he collected $20 million when a horse called Mahogany won on Derby Day back in 1993. So
if you're the bookie and you see Kerry come walking towards you, do you sort of turn the other way or what do you do?
Pull the stand down, shut it down, get out of here.
We're just closing up.
I guess you can make it a good day or a really, really bad one if you're taking $5 million on a horse.
Missed last night's cricket action? Catch up with KO Minis. ICC T20 Cricket World Cup condensed match highlights. New to KO? Start your free trial today. Ruin Dits
Overnight Sports. Speaking of the World Cup on KO, Australia lost to India in the last of the warm-up matches. As long as they're warm-up games, Roo, that's all right. You've got to tweak things, get them right.
Yeah, exactly. That's Dave what they're
Warner,
for.
Dave Warner was out for a first ball duck in the last game. This one he was out for just one, so he's in a real slump at the moment.
He's improving.
Steve Smith scored top scored with 57, and the Aussies were rolled for 152. India beat us with just over a dozen balls to spare. James Pattinson's announced his retirement.
What's
cricket.
He got a little dicky knee or something?
He's always had injury problems, unfortunately. Very good bowler, but he has been in and out of the Test side for several years. Let's talk a bit of footy, shall we? Now there's a fair bit of talk around with a potential power father-son pick with Jace Burgoyne. But the other player that is impressed, and Port Adelaide, what we're doing, Roo, we're trying to rush through the uncle-nephew rule as well. See, because there's Nasiah Wanganeen Miller can really play, apparently. He's his uncle, Gav.
Of course I'm going to be biased. I mean, you know, he's my nephew, and I see him as an elite ball user and an elite decision maker. So that speaks for itself. But I reckon he'll be around that mark, that's for sure.
So, good genes.
Yeah, I think Essendon and Port will be fighting over that lad. Apparently got really good talent, a wingman, plays for Glenelg. So that'll be another exciting part of the draft.
All right, now he is Gavin Wanganeen's sister's lad,
that's
I'm
right.
to believe. Yeah.
Yep.
So as
yep.
I said,
and Gav used to kick the footy just about every weekend for 10 years with his son and his nephew. Because young Tex, his son, I think he's going in the draft as well, this year as well. Neither Essendon or Port have nominated him for father-son, but because he'll probably be down the draft a little bit.
Okay. Talia McGrath has led the Adelaide Strikers to an 8-wicket win over the Melbourne Renegades. She scored a half century. It's official now. Novak Djokovic. They're calling him Novak Djokovic, would you believe it? He won't play in January's Australian Open if he isn't fully vaccinated.
Yep.
And he's being a bit coy about his vaccinations at the moment.
Well, it won't be for too much longer. If he wants to play, you have to declare it, because in Victoria, you have to be vaxxed to play sport.
That's right. The Cox Plate's on this weekend. It's one of the biggest races on the calendar. Favourite Zaki is looking hard to beat, and trainer Annabelle Neesham is scrambling to be trackside now they've opened the borders.
It's not about just winning one race and thank you very much, see you later. It's the more you win, probably the more you want to win.
Yeah, it's a big race. It is the best race. The best horses in the world, the best horses in Australia are in the Cox Plate. So that's on this Saturday.
All right, for basketball fans, this is exciting. 36er, former 36er, Josh Giddey makes his debut for Oklahoma City later on this morning when the Thunder takes on the other Adelaide boy, Joe Ingles, and the Utah Jazz. That's our look at sport.